Tonight we are going to have an open meeting for all of us to actively participate, the men audibly, young men, old men, boys of all ages. A lot of our young adults are at the Bible study tonight, so they're not with us to join in on this, but we feel like periodically it's very much of a blessing and a help to open up the meeting to the brothers and allow one another just to share what's on our heart from the Scripture. We know the Lord is speaking to us hopefully on a daily basis as we're in the Word, and there are those things that can be beneficial not only to our own hearts, but to others. We're thankful here at the chapel that every Sunday morning at 9:30 we meet for the Lord's Supper, and of course that's an open time for the men and young men to share, focused on Christ as we have opportunity to bring before the Father our appreciation of the Son, to remember Him, to meditate Him on Him, to think on Him. There are many things that we have in our hearts that are not necessarily appropriate to share from the Scripture at that time, because our focus is on the Lord Jesus and bringing worship to the Father for His Son regarding particularly His death, burial, and resurrection, but His life, His majesty, His character. But there are many other things, obviously, in the Scripture that we can share for encouragement, for edification, for rebuke, for instruction, however the Lord may burden our hearts. And we have men that we ask to speak at various times, and they have the opportunity to do that for an extended time publicly, but there are other things that might can share in 5 minutes or less, and that's what we try to do at these meetings. And we have about 40 minutes, so we're going to just open it up, and if you can just acknowledge by raising your hand, let me call on you, and Nick's got a microphone. If you could use that, that'll make it very helpful, and if you could give us the scripture verse or passage you want to look at, and let us have time to go to that passage, and then we'd like for you to share with us what the Lord is showing you or has shown you or even shows you tonight. So as is usually the case, getting started can be the most challenging part of it. We got to start right here. Brother Ron is ready to get us going. So, Ron?
Might as well get it over with. The passage I'm looking at it is Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. I've been thinking a lot about, I can't even grasp who God is, but I could try. In the finite mind that I have, I can read His Word, and I can dwell on that and try to comprehend in my feeble way who God is. In Isaiah, he says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." There are various areas that you could think about this. But as I am not a Bible scholar, I do look at things that I can comprehend myself. And I immediately have thought about making trips. And over the years, made a lot of trips. And before GPSs were around, we had a lot of trips in our family. My dad and mom went all over the place, and of course I didn't have any choice. I was with them, so I went with them. But it was nice when technology came around and you could use a GPS. But I thought, when I was reading over these verses here, to show that God doesn't think like me or us. He knows the end to the beginning. Now, how in the world could I program my GPS to go to our daughters in Dubuque, Iowa, 1,000 miles away, and think what is going to transpire in Randleman, North Carolina, and try to think ahead in Dubuque, Iowa. What's going to happen? I can't think of that. But you know what? God can. God knows every mile that's going to happen. Every event, every stop, every grunt, every groan, every time that I maybe am fatigued or tired, He knows that before it even happens. That's God. And if He knows my life or every one of us, our lives from the time that we are conceived, He has a plan for all of our lives to the time whether He takes us home or whether He comes. And hopefully you know Christ is your Savior and you're going to be raptured with Him. He knows that. I don't. I don't know 5 seconds into the future, but He does. How can I doubt God? It really makes me feel so small. So I'll leave you with those thoughts.
Amen. Thank you, Ron. Good start for us tonight. Who will be next? Okay, here we go back there. Tim?
The portion I'm going to be looking at tonight is found over in Hebrews chapter 9. I'll be reading from verse 22 to the end of the chapter. And it says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the ages, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many." And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. This morning we sang in a song, and Tico reminded us of the words, particular words in that song, that for our sins he once was slain. Brendan and I had the opportunity to go to a Southern Gospel concert Friday night, and the group Greater Vision was singing, and they sang a song, and it was a new one of theirs, and it's called Put Out the Fire. And the song takes you from the vantage point of John the Baptist, from the time that he sees the Lord Jesus and he says the words, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And the song follows that as he's saying this, he's looking off at Jerusalem, John the Baptist is, and he's thinking of the temple. And he's thinking of those sacrifices that are offered day after day after day. The fire in that altar never goes out. There's the morning and the evening burnt offerings. There's all the sin offerings and the other offerings that must be done. And that fire continues to burn and continues to burn. With those words, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," John the Baptist's words are, "Put out the fire." There's no need to keep the altar burning. The one who has come to take away our sins, who offered himself once for all, here at the completion of the ages, there is no need for him to offer himself again. There is no need for any other sacrifice other than him. He is the one true sacrifice for all time, for everyone, for eternity. So put out the fire. It's interesting that we think of those Israelites, the nation as a whole, did not accept him as their Messiah, did not accept him as God's Lamb. And those sacrifices continued on, I guess all the way up until the time that Titus came and destroyed the city and the temple. But we see this one, and we have put our faith and trust in this one who was offered once for all. And for us, there is no fire that needs to keep burning. He has already endured the judgment of God upon himself. And we, as it says, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, apart from sin, unto salvation.
Amen. Thank you, Tim. Dave, down at the front here.
In Genesis 1 and 1, it tells us that in the beginning God, I know in our Sunday school classes and our Bible school, we've told our students that if you can believe those four words, you'll have no problem with the rest of the scriptures. Let's go and look at the rest of the verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I was watching a documentary on TV a while back, and the Hubble telescope started out, and it moved rather slow because there was a lot to see. And some of the stars that it passed by, they were not just a shining star, but the colors of the stars. And it must have taken 2 or 3 minutes for this telescope to travel through space. Couldn't help but think when Ron was talking about trying to understand God. After watching this, I have a problem giving thanks for my meals without seeing this beautiful picture. Brothers and sisters, we're going to be there someday, and we're going to enjoy this to the fullest. It's a wonderful God we serve, and I'm so looking forward to the time and we can all be together in heaven and enjoy our time with the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Dave. Okay, Doug.
John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. We live in pretty much an imperfect world, and we hear certainly through 24-hour news services an overabundance of information, sometimes not all good. But we can feel welcome in the presence of God. We still come in awe in a spirit of reverence and adoration, but the tremendous news is that we can come.
Amen. Okay, thank you, Dad. Hey, Pete.
If we could turn for a minute to John chapter 17, which we know is the Lord's words to his disciples on the evening before he gave his life on our behalf. And as I was looking through the chapter, there are quite a number of things that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave to us that are mentioned in the chapter. in verse 2. He gives us eternal life. Not just life that is extinguished once we pass this earthly scene, but believing in him, we have life with him for eternity, eternal life. In verse 3, we have knowledge of him. The knowledge of him we know comes only through his word. For I could remember, I was a Catholic prior to being saved, and I always struggled with the fact that I always thought there were things that I had to do. There were things that I had to do. Until the Lord revealed to me that it was already done. And his word states again that by grace we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In verse 8, he as the living word gives us the word that we have in our hands. The words that were revealed by the Holy Spirit, written on these pages, so that we would have knowledge of God's plan for us and his promises to us. In verse 11, this is important, 11, and it's mentioned again in verse 21, 11, verses 11 and 21. And that is the unity of the body. We are all one in Christ, and the unity of the body is important to the Lord, that we be of one mind, and that one mind be focused on him. Verse 12. He keeps us. It's that security that we have. We're separated from the world and we're separated to him. In verse 15, we not only have eternal security, but we have some security from to Satan and the other evil spirits that are in the world. Because we know that the word states that Satan is the prince and power of the air, and that he battles with us and for our minds continually, that we might dishonor him, but God is our security. He keeps us safe, he keeps us from the evil one. Verse 17, that which I mentioned previously, sanctification. And again, it's all that sanctification is, it's that holiness that we have. And holiness means separation from the world and separation to God. Verse 22, glory. You know, when we think of that word glory, and we think of the Lord Jesus and the glory that he had with the Father from the beginning, that glory he has chosen to share with us, it's beyond our power to conceive. In verse 9, precious promise, that we're with him not only now in spirit, but we'll be with him for eternity. For he says, whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. We'll be with him forever, falling at his feet in worship and praise. And last but not, certainly not least, in verse 26, love. That agape love. The love that he had for us, the love that we're supposed to have for each other, and that we know is the agape love, self-sacrificial, thinking of others before we think of ourselves. What a great God and Savior we have.
Amen. Thank you, Pete. Okay, Lucas.
You could turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I kind of stole this from camp, but I won't be as good as he was. But he kind of concentrated on this whole chapter, but these two verses really stuck with me, verses 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that ye may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And, you know, anyone here who's saved has been chosen to be a soldier, so to speak, in the Lord's army, I guess, and for Jesus Christ. And, you know, it says it's not going to be easy. We're going to have to endure hardness. And I was thinking about it. I was at a bunch of my friends' graduations the other day, and the word entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, or that phrase, and how, you know, we're all growing up, and I know it speeds up from here on out, so I'm told. And, you know, all the things that start going on, all the careers and everything, and all the things you're trying to be doing, not that they're bad things, but things that we get caught up in and lose sight of, you know, the spiritual battle that we're in, and that I need to be more aware of that, you know. And yeah, I guess that's pretty much it. But just pray for me as I'm trying to follow this, I guess.
Amen. Thank you, Lucas. We'll pray for you. Pray for one another, too, with that. Okay, John, over here. John Angel.
Yes, it's hard to believe that I actually went to college about almost 50 years ago anyway. It's a long time. Yeah, it does speed up for a while after that. When I was in college, I don't remember much about it, but I was totally immersed in pursuing Becky. It took me 4 years to complete that degree, but it was certainly worth it. Anyway, while we were there, the college administration and all of its brilliance decided that they would change the yearly calendar to a one-month semester in January, which meant all the professors were all groaning about it because they squashed the fall and the spring semesters, and it just ruined everything. And I remember in a German class I had, the professor was just furious about it. He said, "What can you do for a month in German?" You know, and he asked the students that question, and so, ignorant as though I was, I still said, "Well, why don't we have a total immersion in German class?" And they, believe it or not, that was the only time I think they ever took something I said seriously. That's what they did. And I actually took that course, total immersion in German. It's probably good that they ignored everything else I ever suggested. I was pretty stupid in those days. But anyway, I've been reading in Matthew chapter 3, and I was thinking about total immersion courses. Now Jesus, as we all know, he had a cousin, a little bit older than he was, whose name was John. And he taught a course in total immersion, didn't he? Matter of fact, they called him that. Because baptized just means immersed. We know that in this assembly. Anyway, In Matthew 3:3, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Let's skip down to verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized, of course that means immersed, of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And this is the key verse, verse 8. "Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance." Now, we live in very dark days, not just for this evil world that we live in, but especially for the church. It's a time of apostasy and turning away from the Lord, especially in this land that we love, America. Persecution in other lands especially. Persecution is coming here. But here, Jesus' cousin starts out his ministry. It's a sort of introduction, since he was the Elijah for Jesus, really. He made it crystal clear that there's a distinction between real believers or repenters here and outward showers, people that are pretending. So many of these supposedly good, faithful believers in the Lord came to him claiming to be believers. They wanted to get out on this thing he was doing, and instead he called them generation of vipers. He saw right through them, and he made it clear that being a believer meant bearing fruit. And that's what we all need to do. The Bible says before we meet on Sunday morning, breaking of bread, we're to examine ourselves. We're to be fruit inspectors, and that continues with me, and I trust it continues with all of us.
Amen. Thank you, John. Nick sees a hand back there. Okay, Leo.
I can't really say that I'm prepared, but I have a study Bible here, and I'll read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, and I have some notes in the study Bible. I can tell you some of the number of the things that we're blessed with. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he has chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the gospel, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted and beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made us abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after the gospel of your salvation, which in whom also having believed, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." So in verse 3, we find out that we're blessed. Verse 4, we're chosen. Verse 5, we're predestined. Verse 5, again, we're adopted. Verse 6, very important, we're accepted. Verse 7, we're redeemed. Verse 7, we're forgiven. Enlightened in verse 8 and 9, given an inheritance. Verse 11, that we don't deserve, might they say. Sealed in verse 13, and assurance in verse 14, because we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Praise God for all his blessings.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Leo. Sure, yeah, you can go again. Since there's not takers, come on back down here. Dave's got some more. You didn't use your whole 5 minutes anyway.
Now, getting up at 5 o'clock on the third Saturday in the month is not something you really enjoy doing, but coming over and cooking breakfast with the brothers is it's always a blessing. Yesterday we were discussing this same subject that I started talking about, the Hubble telescope, and one of the brothers was, well, let me I can agree with the Big Bang theory, and that's what I was telling them. And we were talking about the fact when God created the heavens and the earth. And Brother Dave Steenland said, and he just flung them out into space. It was finger work for him. And I can picture that. The energy that the Big Bang people can't tell you about, I can tell them about, because that was my Heavenly Father. The energy that it took for him to put these stars out into space. Not just flung them out there, but they're all in specific places, just like the universe that we live in. All of them are out there, just exactly where they need to be, and they have been, we know, for 7,000 years. And I don't know how much longer than that. But it was just, and then Brother Dave also mentioned the fact that the furthest star away could be, and light traveling from that star at 186,000 miles a second takes millions of years to travel from there to us. I strive to understand who God is. But I'm telling you, people, the more you learn about him, the more you realize you don't know about him. He is a great God. In my life, I thought when, in 07, that my life was pretty much, you know, I could settle back and take it easy. But there was a girl who had been single for 30 years. And she related to me later that she had asked God if he could, would, to send her someone that she could grow old with. And when I realized what had happened, I was so thankful. And at 72 years old, God still had something for me to do. And I'm telling you all, young and old, at 80, I've got more to do today than I can get done. There are actually times when Margaret and I have to say no. So if you make yourself available, your plate will never be empty, and I can guarantee that. I love you all. I mean, you are my family. I just think about us standing around talking for 30 and 45 minutes after the service is over. There's a lot of love there, people. Mm. God bless all of you. Mm.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave. Maybe I'll just mention quickly Dave talking about how much he and Margaret have to do. It just reminds me of the Christ for Kids Club at Jones Elementary that we've been blessed to be a part of this semester every Thursday, and they're a vital part of that, as many of you are and others, and all of you, regarding prayer. But just the appreciation that we have to the Lord for opening that door. There are many groups and people who would love to get into any public school to be able to take the gospel, and most of them are rebuffed, but the Lord worked it out that Joseph got a job at that school with that principal, and she's been very open and We've seen the Lord get the gospel to, I don't know how many kids total. We usually have 50-some every week. So if we look at all the ones that have been there at all, I know there have been over 70 that have come in and heard the gospel. Sometimes they listen better than others, but we rejoice at what God has done. There are four Christ for Kid clubs, and we have the most difficult one, according to Lauren Yotis, who has been to all of them, and we are limited in our space. They all have a gymnasium they can use. We're in a classroom with 50-some children from very difficult backgrounds. But we rejoice at what God has done, and we think about that verse. The Lord Jesus says, "Allow the little children to come unto me," and He has enabled us to be a part of that, and enabled you to be a part of that. As this local church has been behind that, sponsoring that really, and having an impact, I believe, not only on those children, but on their families and on the school, and having a testimony. And it's been difficult at times. I think about the verse that Lucas shared about being a good soldier and the hardships. And there have been some... at least one Marine who probably says it's tougher there than it was at, down in basic training or anything that he did. It's a challenge. But again, the Lord is gracious, and the Lord is teaching those of us who are involved in that. He's humbling us. Just a quick word of testimony. We had tried to make some changes that we thought might help with the behavior, and we did that for 2 or 3 weeks and found that behavior was getting worse instead of better. So not that they were bad changes, but I think we just came to the point we realized it's not of us. It's not about what we do. It's the Lord. And so before this last club, we just prayed together. We do that every time. We gather in a circle and hold hands and just take turns praying and lifting up to the Lord the club that we're getting ready to hold that day and the children. And I think we just kind of admitted to God, you know, we're at the end of ourselves. We don't know what to do differently, Lord. These kids, we want them to hear the gospel. We love them, and we want to love them more. We want to love them better, but we've got to trust you. And so you're going to have to do it. And we gave it to him, and guess what? He did it. He did it in some interesting ways. He worked it out where some of the troublemaker children didn't come. We hate for them not to come, but, you know, if they're going to be a distraction, then maybe that's the way the Lord will work. But he kept them calmer. We had a good time of teaching as we looked into the scriptures and talked about Paul and his time at Philippi with the jailer there and how the jailer came to know the Lord. And a number stayed afterwards and talked, and two made professions. And we've had a number of professions made this year. Pray for the children. Pray particularly of assurance of the ones who have made professions. Pray for assurance of their salvation, because they many of them struggle with that. Some of them have some church background, and oftentimes it's a lot of confusion with works and baptism and holding on to your salvation. So just pray for them with that. We have one more club. This Thursday will be our last club for this year, and we often discuss the home lives of these children and what they go back into. And we're blessed to love them for an hour and a half face-to-face. Sometimes we want it to be hand to rear end that we're loving them, but we can't do that. But as we love them face-to-face, but then they go back into, most of them, very, very difficult circumstances. There is anger in the hearts of some of these children that is hard to even comprehend, that kind of anger in a child of that age. And yet we know that a lot of that is a result of what is, of course, it's sin in their hearts, but resulting from their environment. So continue to pray for the Christ for Kids and for all these children, and pray maybe about your involvement again next year. I'm probably going to have to plead with some folks to come back. But we need more help. We've often commented that if we had one worker for every child, that's really what most of these children need. They need somebody to come beside them, put their arm around them, and show them love and concern and individual attention. And even the ones who cause trouble, we find that if we can get with them one-on-one, oftentimes they respond much better. So just pray about it and pray for the kids over the summer. and for the testimony that's gone forth. So I didn't mean to use all that time, but we're at 8 o'clock now, and hopefully that's what the Lord wanted. So thank you, everyone who shared some wonderful thoughts tonight. Of every brother that shared, I just appreciate so much the thoughts that you shared from God's Word, and they've been a blessing, and I trust that we'll take them with us. Maybe hang on to at least one thing you heard tonight, one verse. Take that with you, meditate on it, and may the Lord use that to continue to change us. So let's close in prayer. Father, we give you thanks for our time together tonight. It's been such a blessing. Lord, I thank you just for the priesthood of the believers. And Father, this opportunity to express that in a different way, maybe than we normally do. We thank you for the opportunities we have at the Lord's Supper. We thank you for Wednesday night as we come together for prayer and have that open time for the brothers to lead us in prayer. We thank you for the sisters, Lord, and we thank you for their vital involvement. We thank you for the ones tonight that have been praying for the brothers, Father, that have their hearts in tune and that have been actively listening in Father serving in so many other ways. We thank you that we can take what we've heard tonight and we can meditate on it. And maybe we can share some of those things with other people, Lord, not only in a public meeting, but privately. So use us, change us, continue to work in us, show us from your word who you are, as we've seen some of that tonight, what you have done for us. Again, we've been reminded of that, what you're doing for us. Lord, we just thank you so much for your exhortations in our lives. Father, we need that. We thank you that we're not left to our own abilities, Lord, but we thank you for your grace. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you that it's by faith that we take each step in this journey. So we commend ourselves and each one involved in this local assembly to you, and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord bless you. Thank you.